Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. Keep in mind, this is a listener participation program. We invite and encourage your calls and your participation by your questions, your comments, your dialogue, interaction with us on the subjects that we're speaking of and or other subjects that are very precious to you and interesting to you that you feel we need to discuss. You can call us at 904-401-1413. As we seek truth and what the Scripture says, we need to understand Jesus' very words when he spoke of the Scripture. He said, "Thy word is truth." John 17:17. Previously, he had said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We seek answers to life's most dilemmifying problems. We seek resolution to life's difficulties. We seek God's wisdom for direction and what we need to do. One of the best places to go to is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word called the Bible, God's Word. 66 individual books combined forming one book that we call the Bible. So may I instruct our hearts that the focus ought to be on whatever we do or say. What would the Scripture instruct us? How would God direct us? What would His wisdom be on any subject? May I remind us as we think on that very subject, I have a profound question that I must ask you. Have you ever considered what America would be like? What the United States of America would be like if we were controlled by the Islamic jihadist and if we were placed under Quranic Sharia law? When you say Sharia law, you're talking about the Quran. What does the Quran say? Sharia law referring to the Quran and its dictating directives for life. What would America be like? I'm just going to take a few moments to go through just a brief litany of what our nation would be like. And I set the stage with this because of the condition we are in America, with the Sodomite movement and with the Islamic jihadist movement tearing the warp and the woof, that's the fabric of our society, apart, ripping our nation apart, destroying our foundation. And we're allowing this to take place through either the genius or the ineptness of Barack Hussein Obama. I believe it's a genius, not ineptness. I believe that everything he do is planned. I believe that everything that he does and all that he implements and every dictation and dictive and edict that he gives, everything that he says by his cell phone and pen, rather than going through the House and the Senate, I believe that it has an ultimate goal. And he's carrying it out in perfection. But what would America be like? if we were ruled by the Islamic jihadist and under the order and directive of Sharia law, the wicked, evil, demonic book called the Quran. The Quran's made up of 3,000 surahs. We call them in our Holy Bible verses. There are 3,000 of them in the Quran. But if we were operating in America under the Quran, just as you'd find in Indonesia, as is found in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and many other nations around the globe that are dominated by Islam, you'd find some of these characteristics. No churches. No Christians. Predominantly so. If there are any Christians, they're hidden, sequestered, secluded, and private. No Christian radio or television broadcast. No free speech. No freedom of religion. Women are not allowed to drive a vehicle. Women could not walk publicly without a male companion walking with her. Women, under the Quranic dictative, women must walk 10 steps behind her husband to show respect and honor for her husband. Women could not show their face publicly if America were living under the dictation and the directive of the Quran. A man could beat his wife for any cause if she didn't please him. Honor killing is permitted. What is honor killing? Simply, we've had several cases of it in America under the Islamic jihadists living here, and they've swept it under the rug. They have made it very, very palatable. News media might cover it with one 24-hour cycle, and then it's over. Honor killing is, let's give a hypothetical that literally took place in Houston a few years back, where a man and his wife, both Islamic jihadists, man and his wife with a 16-year-old daughter, she started dating a person that was non-Islamic. When her dad discovered that, he wanted to celebrate her 16th birthday, or so he told her. He was a taxi cab driver. He said, "We're going to go to the finest restaurant." He put her in his cab. They drove to a tall office building that was closed at that time of the evening, parked in the parking lot in the back, pulled out his pistol, and shot her to death to prevent her from dating or ultimately marrying a non-Muslim. That's honor killing. And he fled the country. He already had his airline tickets. He already had things planned. And he fled to Pakistan. To my knowledge, he's never been apprehended. That's called honor killing. That, by the way, is part and parcel of what is found in the Quran. We find also, if we were under the domination of Islam in America, all homosexuals, Bible calls them sodomites, not gay, not homosexual, but sodomites, would be killed summarily. According to the Quran, they would be killed by their throats being cut or throwing them off of a tall building. It would be illegal, if America is controlled by Islam, to speak out in any disparaging way against any governmental leadership. You would either be ultimately stoned to death or put in prison for the balance of your natural life. There would be no safety on streets in America for women. If you don't believe that, if you wonder how this is possible, just look at Europe. Analyze France, Italy, Germany. Look at all of that part of the world. Since we've had such an influx of refugees coming in, women are not safe on the streets of the UK. Women are not safe on the streets in Germany. They're being raped by the thousands. And the political leaders, rather than admitting the problem and trying to control the problem with police power and authority, they're telling the women, just stay in at night. Or they're telling the women, don't look provocative. Or they're saying to the women, you've got to be able to distract them so that you can run. Rather than controlling the problem, marauding bands of young Islamic jihadists roaming the streets, raping woman after woman after woman. That's what would be found in America. Islamic political leaders would dominate. under the ultimate control found in the Quran. May I remind us, the Arabic language would be the language of America. And as I have outlined very carefully and very slowly, so that it would impress you with the horror that faces America, many will say, impossible. That'll never happen. I challenge you with the fact that demographers, those that study movement of masses of people and resettlement and settlement areas, geographically speaking, they're called demographers. Demographers tell us that the United States of America, listen carefully, that the United States of America will be controlled by Islam by the year 2050. 2050. How is that possible? Simply one major way, as the demographers point out, is the fact that Islamics have children at the rate of 8.9 children per family. 8.9. Never mind the fact that they have multiple wives. Never mind the fact that they've never ceased to do that, even if they become American citizens and live in America. Multitudes still operate on a polygamous basis. But they have 8.9 children per family. Americans are having 2.3 children per family. Europe, by the way, it is down to 1.7 children per family. And demographers again tell us that no nation can survive with its present demography with less than 2.3 children per family to continue the heritage of that nation. That's where we are in America today, and that's where we're headed. And it's being promoted by Barack Obama and the No Borders philosophy. It's being promoted by Barack Obama and the insanity of allowing hundreds of thousands of refugees to come into America without documentation, without any background check. There's no way to check their background. By the way, overwhelming majority of them coming in that are refugees, they spell their names, first and last names, a half dozen different ways. And if you change one portion of the spelling of their name, it changes their identity completely. And that is a practice from many of the nations that are sending refugees into America. May I remind us, you can call in and have your comments, your questions, your dialogue. We encourage you to do so. It is our privilege to have the opportunity to answer your questions, respond to your political, social, biblical, theological questions. By the way, we're going to be talking tomorrow on Friday. We'll be looking at a subject that many may be interested in. It's the separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. I urge you this evening to get your Constitution out, read it from cover to cover, and be prepared to give me the place, the page, the section, and the paragraph that we find in our Constitution, the wall of separation of church and state. I urge you to call and let's discuss that on tomorrow's broadcast today. We're talking about an eclectic group of things, primarily focusing on the plummeting, denigration, and the destruction of our great nation, America. By the way, that brings to mind the fact that on July the 22nd, 23rd, that's a Friday night, 6:30 to 9:30, and Saturday, 9 o'clock until 5, we're having a wonderful, wonderful seminar sponsored by our university, Conservative Theological University. By the way, pastors, if you're in ministry, if you're in the music ministry, pastoral ministry, educational ministry, Christian education, and you need to complete a theological degree, or you've not started one, you'd love to be able to have that credential that shows to the world that you do know what the Scripture says, how to preach and how to teach it, we encourage you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Let's schedule a time for you to come in and talk with one in our admissions department to schedule something for you so that you can have your matriculation done and be ready to start in class this September. But on July the 22nd, 23rd, we have a seminar, and the seminar is about protecting God's church. Protecting God's church. That is a church security seminar. You see, we are facing satanic assault across America. And Christians and pastors and God's ministries are under satanic assault and demonic attempts to destroy. Most pastors in church and parachurch ministries are unaware of the number of acts of violence and shootings and burglaries and forced entries and, yes, even murders that are taking place in our churches across America. Churches are generally unarmed. Churches are generally trusting everybody. Churches are generally not prepared for armed intruders. Churches are open, soft targets for terrorists and those that are mentally challenged and the person seeking revenge against the pastor simply because the pastor preached on the subject that was in disagreement with the one that was hearing it. So he goes in to destroy and tear down. Who should attend this seminar? Senior pastors, security team members, ushers, deacons, associate pastors, church staff members, church greeters, Sunday school teachers, church parking teams. You can call us at 1-800-GO-BIBLE and do the registration by telephone. But I urge you, I encourage you, everyone that's involved in ministry in any fashion in your church, communicate with your pastor, communicate with your security team, and urge them to participate in this wonderful seminar. A certificate of completion is provided. And by the way, just as a little tip, several hundred, in fact, over 900 churches across America in the past few years have had armed intruders, some resulting in the death of several of the church members and some resulting in the death of the pastor. There's a registration fee of $99. It covers the cost of the book, the textbook, the seminar, the syllabus, and the finger food, light refreshment served on Saturday for lunch, at noontime, lunchtime. You can call us at 404-1413 if you have a question. But what should we do as believers, seeing what we're faced with as a nation? What should we do? How should we respond to it? What should be our answer to what is taking place? Well, the Scripture says we're to be salt and light. The Scripture says that we're to be involved. For 50-plus years, we've had pastors in pulpits, well-meaning, I'm sure, telling the parishioners, those Christians in the pews, that you ought not to get involved in politics because it's wicked, evil, and dirty. As a result of that, wonderful Christian men and women have remained out of the political arena, and therefore all we have is crooked, evil, wicked people in the political arena today, for the most part. There's some good guys, I understand. But many times a person can go through the election process, and once he gets into the system, he sees the glow and the glitz and the glitter of listening to the peddlers of their own agenda and accepting the bribes and the payoffs, as many, I conclude, my own opinion, that's taking place with our city hall and city government today in Duval County in Jacksonville, Florida. We need to take a stand, being salt and light. We need to get involved in the political process. We need to find God-honoring men and women to help them get involved in the political process. In fact, Matt Staver of Liberty Council said, and may I quote, "In order for America to recover, the church, the sleeping giant, as it is called, must be awakened." Now, that's Matt Staver, Liberty Council. Let me restate what he said, giving a quote directly. "In order for America to recover, the church, the sleeping giant, as it is called, must be awakened." So what? We're not of the world. Therefore, we need to realize that we are foreigners traveling through this old world. And as foreigners traveling through this world, God charges us with the responsibility to be salt and light in this world. May I remind us, our founding fathers saw America as a Judeo-Christian nation with our values and our laws founded on the Bible, the Word of God. They believe that our political liberty is dependent upon our religious liberty. And if we have no religious liberty, we have no political liberty. And by the way, in the state of Iowa, one of the cities in Iowa, the Commission on Civil Rights has just been sued by the Alliance Defending Freedom on behalf of a church in Des Moines, Iowa, because the church was put on notice that the city in the Civil Rights Commission wanted to investigate their messages and what their sermons contained and what they were saying from the pulpit as pastors, because you see, they're wrestling over the very same thing that we're wrestling over in Duval County. That is the open bathroom edict the open bathroom directive handed down by Barack Hussein Obama, implemented by the U.S. Department of Education, mandated by our school board here in Duval County, and Dr. Vitti as the ill-equipped representative for our school system in Duval County. And as a result of the open bathroom policy there in Iowa, the case that is at point is the transgender rights. And they're saying in Iowa that if that applies to schools and universities, they're saying in Iowa that it must also apply to churches if the churches have an open door policy for the public to come to services. Now, listen very carefully. That includes every church, to my knowledge, in America. You don't have services with sequestered doors. You don't have services where you say the public's not invited. We have services inviting the public so the public can come to know Christ as Savior and as Lord. So if we do not have religious liberties, we cease to have political liberties. Our freedom of speech and our religious liberties are absolutely inseparable with what we have for America. For this reason, most of our political leaders in early America were pastors. Did you know that? Did you know that the majority of those that surrendered not only for the pastoral ministry, but surrendered themselves to lead in local, state, and national governmental offices were pastors? Pastors, men of God, serving God and government. Well, we've just been told that Councilman Tommy Azzurri will soon reintroduce his open bathroom bill for city council. Now, it's horrific enough. It is horrible enough. It's egregious enough. It's sinful enough to have Dr. Vitti direct the school board and our incompetent school board, our school board with no morals and ethics and values and backbone to stand. Every one of them, all six, is still in office. I say to you, school board members, you're without a spine, without a backbone, unless you say to Dr. Vitti, you're fired, and protect our students, our sons and daughters that we send to school to be safe, where the bathrooms are being open, where the locker rooms and the shower rooms are open, where little girls can be exposed to the pedophiles and the perverts and the transsexuals and the homosexuals that will come in to videotape or to watch them dress and undress or shower. It's an egregious thing. In fact, the scripture is very clear in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness, that means rightness with God. That word means to honor God. Righteousness exalteth. That means to lift up. It means to honor. It means to glorify. Righteousness honors, lifts up, exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach. That word reproach means to dishonor, to shame, to insult. But sin is a dishonor, a shame, a reproach to any people. And may I remind us, we're seeing that so rapidly today in our society. It seems as though every political leader, local, state, and national, majority of the political leaders have the philosophy somehow, some way, that they know better than God what we need as American citizens. And as a result of that, they're opening Pandora's box to that onslaught of demonic activity and satanic destruction of our families. Tommy Azzurri, along with Aaron Bowman and Jim Love in our city council, are the three ring leaders in this HRO, Human Rights Ordinance. It is the proposed expansion of the open door policy for the bathrooms. And I say to everybody, it's not a matter of an open door. It takes the hinge off the doors. It takes the door out of the doorway for our bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. And listen carefully. You say, well, that doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Oh, listen, it does. It affects every human being in our city and in our county. For if you were to go, if you disagree with Target, with their open dressing room policy and open bathroom policy, and multiplied millions across the nation disagree with it, Target stocks dropped about $1.5 billion since we started the boycott. And there have been over 28 cases that's in different stages of adjudication in relationship to the horrific events taking place in the Target dressing room, showers, and so forth. If you want that on a citywide basis, where every store you go in, every business you go in, every professional office building that you go in and you send your daughter, your wife goes into a bathroom, not knowing what they're going to face and be confronted with in the bathroom. One person recently on national television stated that when she goes in the bathroom, she takes her 45. Now, I'm not advocating that. I'm simply saying we're getting to the point of major harm and danger. And here is Tommy Azuri that's planning on reintroducing that horrific demonic legislation in City Hall. I say to everyone listening, get on your telephones tomorrow. Call City Council. Talk with each individual City Council member and say, don't you dare burden and destroy our city, our homes, our morals and our ethics and our values with such a demonic piece of legislation. You see, we elect these folks to represent 100% of the people, and they're not representing 100% of the people. My most humble opinion, they've been bought and paid for by the sodomite dollars and the sodomite movement, the sodomite organizations that's behind this movement on a national basis. They've been bought and paid for in this election, past election, and perhaps with dollars for future elections in order to pass the ungodly, unholy legislation. But call them and say, don't you dare. Stop, stop, stop. And they've got this mantra that it will help business. There are people that won't come to Jacksonville unless we have it. There are those that are qualified in the artisan trades that unless we have a bill such as this, they simply won't move to Jacksonville. Listen, we have a major thriving economy in our city. We have an economy that beats most other economies across the nation in cities. We have a city that we have people moving to by the thousands. We have new businesses starting by the day. We have those that are wanting to start business, bring corporate entities here. And yet you'll hear these mealy-mouthed nobodies in City Council. Specifically, again, I call the name. Tommy Azuri, Aaron Bowman, Jim Love, that have the philosophy that they need to force that issue on the citizens of Duval County. And I say stop the insanity. We the people need to call them and say stop, stop, don't go any further. But here's a better idea. Here's a better idea. Let me suggest to everybody listening, and if you feel impressed to do so, you can feel free to call me offline if you want to, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. I'd like to see we the people start a petition drive to recall Tommy Azuri, to recall Tommy Azuri, to remove him from City Council. Do you realize we have the authority as the people of the city of Jacksonville? If we feel, the majority of our people feel, that he is derelict in his responsibilities of representing we the people, if we feel he's doing something that will be harmful and detrimental to our city, we need to do what we have the ballot petition responsibility and authority to do. Tell Tommy Azuri that we're going to recall him. We're going to put him out of office. We're going to take him out of the position. He thinks he is mayor again. He is the de facto mayor. He thinks, every time the man speaks, he wants to tell you what he did when he was mayor back in the 1980s. He wants to tell you what he has done. And I'm here to tell you he is the worst thing that could happen to Duval County. We need to remove Tommy Azuri. We need to recognize that we, the people, are in charge of our government, and we need to take control once again. By the way, you can go to a wonderful website, Together We Stand Jax. TogetherWeStandJax.com. Wonderful information with dozens of articles about the open bathroom bill and the proposed HRO. Thanks so much for listening today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air tomorrow as we talk about separation of church and state. God bless you for listening.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.